thank you again for joining us here on the Transportation and Logistics Podcast, powered by Atlanta Dispatch and Humblebee Enterprises. I am very excited to be here with a special guest. We have Todd Ziegler, who is the founder and CEO of Truck Coin Swap. And before we begin, just wanted to say that The Dispatcher's Guide to the Galaxy is available now as an ebook and a physical book. And you can acquire your copy online from BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon, or if you're looking for the ebook, go to Apple Books or any of the other places that you would normally get them. We speak so often about you needing to put yourself in the rooms where you can network and increase the visibility of your company and, you know, your company's services. Todd, my brother, look, aside from that being the catalyst of how we got connected, how did attending the 2023 Mid-America Truck Show increase your company's reach? And, you know, for the other newer companies, is that something that you would recommend them to do to get into those type of rooms where there's so much networking going on?
Well, thanks for having me, Jory. That's a great question. I'm very happy to share that Truck Coin Swap was an educational sponsor at the MATS conference this year at the end of April. I'm sorry, the end of March. It was a fantastic opportunity for us because it allowed us to focus on educational content related to blockchain and the transportation industry. And I would certainly recommend to anybody who has not been to MATS specifically, to try to go in the future. I think they had like over 1 million square feet of conference space. I guess they usually have between 65,000 and 80,000 people attend the event. It was really like, or I should say, unlike any other industry conference I've ever been to before. It was a great time.
Yes, sir. I think, was this the 50th year or was this the 51st year? I can't even remember.
You know what? I think it was 51.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, look,
from the folks that I talked to at the show, they are now kind of the preeminent truck show in the world. I think they're the single largest, and obviously I think the one that's been around the longest. So they're obviously doing something right over there in Louisville.
Yes, sir. Very much so. And if you didn't know, it's free. You know, if you guys want to just pull up, it's free. It's not something that you got to pay four figures to attend. It is something that is absolutely free. Unless you want to be a sponsor as Truck Coin Swap was. But, you know, just keep that in mind for next year. It definitely gives you access to some people you probably normally would not have access to. So, look, Todd, thank you so much again for joining me here, brother. I'm very excited to have you. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, you know, your background. How did you get into logistics?
I love that question because I go to so many transportation events and conferences, and like everybody asks each other how did you get into logistics and transportation, and like a lot of people don't have a good answer or they don't really know, right? And my career arc was a little bit similar, so I like to say that I'm a recovering attorney by education. Worked in a couple different industries in my career, landed in the trucking industry, the transportation industry, about a decade ago. I started working in the full truckload brokerage side of the industry, ended up in a couple C-suite roles for a couple different firms, helping manage procurement events, source capacity to Fortune 1000 shippers, those types of things. I did a lot of business development and some compliance and regulatory and contract related work as well. And that's really where I ran into this problem. I had no idea before I got into the transportation industry that, you know, we had 1 million trucking companies in the United States, 1 to 6 truck operators that were managing 90% of the spot freight. That is an unbelievable number. And I also had no idea that nearly all of those companies were factoring all of their invoices. And most folks outside of the industry aren't really familiar with the concept of factoring, but it dates back about 4,000 years to Hammurabi's code, this issue of trade finance. And it is a major cost for these companies, not just small operators, but 3PLs and brokerages as well. A lot of people really do not understand until they sit down and do the math how much that service is costing them. And that's kind of what prompted me to wonder whether or not blockchain and Web3 tech could potentially solve that problem. And so unlike a lot of things in the digital asset, blockchain, crypto space, people like to say that it's a solution looking for a problem. We were a problem looking for a solution. And I'm very proud to say that we actually have solved this problem. We announced the first ever blockchain settlement of a freight invoice with one of our beta carriers back in December. And we started settling carriers in the U.S. Last month. So we've been at this now for almost a year and a half. We've built out our own proprietary mobile and web app. And again, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on today and talk to you more about the innovation and this kind of convergence of $2 trillion American industries that we're seeing in real time right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, man, it's an absolute honor to have you here. And, you know, it's not every day somebody gets on stage and drops Hammurabi's code. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm happy to have that insight on stage, my brother.
It's a 4,000-year-old problem. And it took blockchain to solve it.
That is hilarious, man. And for the folks who are not as up to speed on the buzzwords like blockchain, what are we really talking about in layman's term? I'm one of those folks, you know what I mean? So break it down for me, please.
Sure. Well, so a lot of people are familiar with things like Bitcoin and Ethereum. Those are blockchains. And then there are, of course, typically digital assets or tokens that are affiliated with the different blockchains. And I really like to use a transportation analogy. The blockchains are kind of like railroad tracks, right? And, you know, on railroads, you have trains moving stores of value from one market to another or one party to another. The blockchain is the same type of thing. But as a rail of financial settlement, it is infinitely superior to everything that we've been doing in traditional banking and traditional finance for the last 100 years. It's a lot of these platforms are permissionless. They are trustless. They are fully transparent. But more important than anything else, a lot of these blockchain and layer two protocols allow for instantaneous settlement between two parties. In fractions of a second. And the costs are almost non-existent. So we really are just starting to see the advent of a lot of this technology starting to come into industry and solve problems for small business. But I don't think I'm alone in believing that the entire world of trade finance, invoice settlement, those types of things are all going to get flipped on their head in the next 3 to 5 years, because small businesses are going to start to demand these types of solutions, and consumers are going to as well.
What does it really feel like on your side of things, right? You have a great perspective where you are. You saw the need and you addressed it. But how does it feel being the first crossover between financial tech and freight tech? You know, because that's essentially what it sounds like we're talking about here.
Yeah, and there were a couple companies before us that had some really interesting use cases. I think about the partnership between IBM and Maersk. They had a blockchain-based solution that they created, which created some efficiencies. It was mostly in the maritime mode of transportation, but we are the first company that I'm aware of in the world that has created this type of value proposition to small businesses. And let me put some numbers behind that so it makes sense to people. If you're an owner operator and you are factoring, let's say you're moving, you know, 3 loads a week, and you're factoring, you know, 100% of your invoices at, you know, in industry standards, typically 3-4%. Sometimes it's a little more. The carrier is utilizing a quick pay option with a bank or a factoring company. Most carriers in that situation are paying somewhere between $12,000 and $30,000 a year of their net revenue for that service. Now, when you think about what insurance costs for a truck or a brokerage, or you think about all the other operational costs that you have associated with your business, that is a huge cost. And what our platform allows these companies to do is to effectively recapture all of those operating costs. That net revenue can go right back into their pocket. And, you know, if you're a one truck operator or a 10 truck operator, you know, that's real money. You know, the first carrier that we settled on the TCS platform was a company out in New Jersey called Bulldog, and they were a two truck operation. They moved pallets around the tri-state area. And after we settled the transaction, we asked Vinny, like, you know, if you're able to recapture $12,000 to $15,000 a year per truck in net revenue, what would you do? And he said, man, you know, we could go buy another truck tomorrow. You know, we could grow our business by 33%. We could add another driver. So that is really, I mean, the blockchain and digital asset and Web3 tech is all really exciting. We have our own proprietary mobile and web app as well, which utilizes some AI. And all of that stuff is great. The developers love that stuff, right? But what really matters to me is this value proposition that we're able to provide to the transportation industry. Because again, if you're a brokerage or a trucking company, especially in a soft market like this, where there's a lot of financial hardship, I'm sure you know this statistic, Jory, but I've heard that we've already had 9,000 motor carrier authorities shutter since the beginning of the year. 9,000 companies that have basically shuttered because of how difficult the industry is right now. So you give small business an opportunity to recapture their net revenue. I think it's a great thing for the industry writ large. I think it's a great thing for small business. And we all know that small business is the backbone of the entire American economy.
Probably the last 18 months or so, I want to say that the carriers who have been operating in the spot market have been faced with either two paths: take the low rate on the load and teeter the line of profitability and not breaking even. Or, you know, you can definitely refuse that low paying load, but you got to face those consequences of, you know, you might even default on your truck payment. Or there are some lucky folks who have the flexibility to sit their truck until something good happens or comes around the corner. But for the most part, these owner operators, these small fleets still have to take what's out there to keep their doors open. For the people who are being introduced to this for the very first time and they're interested, explain the steps from a carrier being interested in a load to them actually fulfilling the load and getting paid for their services. Like, how does it work from the beginning to the end?
Sure. That's a great question. And I want to start out by saying while there's a lot of tech involved here, we've, you know, really set out to not try to reinvent the wheel and recreate the settlement model that exists in the transportation industry right now. So if I'm an owner operator today and I'm factoring all of my freight invoices, my receivables, I'm going to deliver a load, right, to, you know, some receiver somewhere, and I'm going to upload my POD. Maybe I've got you know, some accessorials, or there's a lumper receipt involved. I'm going to upload all of that information into the bank or factoring company's mobile app. Those documents are going to move to them. Now, of course, I've already signed an agreement with that company, right, to use their services. So the kind of the know your customer stuff is already in place. And that's kind of what initiates the settlement process. And if it's a conventional factoring relationship, I'm going to pay 3, 4 to 5% of gross, and I'm going to get paid cash in 10 days. That's probably going to be ACH'd into my business checking account. Unfortunately, that's like a 25 to 35% annualized interest rate. That's the equivalent of a hard money loan or a payday loan. But if I'm an owner operator and I need to factor my invoices because I'm on the road and I don't have time to manage a staff or manage a back office, you know, what's my alternative? I don't really have one. So our model is very similar. If a carrier is already set up with Truck Coin Swap, they will have downloaded and have access to our mobile and web app. They're going to deliver a load. They're going to upload the documentation. We are going to notify them typically within one business day as to whether or not we're going to buy that invoice. And of course, we buy the majority of invoices that come through, but occasionally we get things that just aren't financially sound that we have to pass on. But if we're buying that invoice, we'll notify the carrier. And this is where the big change takes place. So a factoring company is going to advance you cash. They're basically giving you a loan on your invoice, subject to the shipper or payor eventually paying the factoring company. In our case, we are going to settle the carrier with the TCS token, which is a Polygon token that operates on the Polygon and Ethereum blockchains. And what we're going to do is we're going to notify the carrier within the app and tell them when the load is ready to settle, because we don't want them subjected to any kind of crypto volatility or slippage or those types of things. So we don't want to settle the transaction when they're going to be behind the wheel for the next 6 hours. We want to settle that transaction when the carrier or the operator is ready to settle that transaction. So when they're ready to settle, they can notify us in the app, and then we transfer the current USD value, the US dollar value of that invoice in our token. And instead of, you know, ACHing cash into their business checking account, we're going to deposit those tokens directly into their exchange wallet. Now, that could be it could be a MetaMask account. It could be a Uniswap wallet. It could be a wallet on another centralized or decentralized exchange. A lot of people are familiar with exchanges like Coinbase and Kraken. So wherever we're depositing those tokens, we deposit those tokens. And then the carrier is able to immediately sell those tokens because they're not investing in crypto. They're not wanting to hold on to a Polygon token. So we've built the model in such a manner where they can immediately sell those tokens and get to cash. The first transaction that we did back in December, it was a $1,000 invoice. The carrier only held our token for about 3 to 5 minutes. And then they sold it all. They got to cash. It still took about 3 days for the cash to move off of the exchange into their business checking account. But the interesting thing is once that invoice value is put on an exchange, you now also have what's referred to as autonomy of revenue, right? So Jory, let's say it's your $1,000 invoice that we settled. And let's say you now have, you know, 10,000 TCS tokens sitting in your exchange wallet. If you want to sell them and go straight to cash, you can do that. However, you also have the alternative of putting part of that $1,000 worth of tokens into USDC. Maybe you want to put 15% of it into Bitcoin. Maybe you want to put 20% of it into Ethereum. Or maybe you just want to go straight to cash because you've got bills that you need to pay and you just want to get onto your next load and have your cash to pay your operating expenses. But the cool thing is once the invoice value is kind of tokenized on the exchange, you now have some options as a business owner, right? You're not just stuck with cash, which we all know is inflating to the tune of 6 to 10% a year. You can do some other interesting things with that freight revenue once it's tokenized. And another thing that we're working on with some of our exchange partners right now is the creation of a crypto fuel card. Now, this card already exists. Like if you're a retail customer over at Coinbase, you can order a card. They'll send it to you for free. And you can spend things like Ethereum and Bitcoin directly off of a card, just like it was a Visa or a MasterCard at any retail location. So another thing that we're working on right now with some of our partnerships is that crypto fuel card product. And once we have that, you actually don't have to take that extra step of selling the token. You could literally spend our token or Bitcoin or any other digital asset directly at a truck stop or at a retail location directly off of your card. So there's a lot of really cool and innovative products that are also percolating as a result of this solution. But it really gives the business owner a lot of options. But of course, the most valuable piece is here that they're able to not pay a factoring fee, right? We don't charge anything to settle invoices because we don't need to, because we generate revenue in other areas. And that deals more with, you know, the blockchain and Web3 tech space. But because we're able to offer that service for free to a trucking company or brokerage, they're able to recapture all of that value that they would have lost to a bank or a factoring company. So that's obviously the big win for them.
Gotcha. And I know you mentioned a few, but do you have like a preferred digital wallet or exchange that you would naturally just, you know, if you were talking to a motor carrier who was new to the whole space, did you have one in particular that you would push them to?
Yeah, we would refer them to one of our exchange partners right now that has the token listed. But, you know, a lot of people like MetaMask, too, which is kind of this independent wallet that a lot of people use. And then sometimes you hear about cold storage wallets and hot storage wallets. Cold storage is if, you know, you're into investing in digital assets and you plan to hold things for a long time. So most of the wallets that we're talking about here are hot wallets that are on exchanges where carriers are able to immediately sell and get to cash, or they can transfer into other digital assets like Bitcoin. But these exchanges are really excited because they want to offer business products and business solutions to small businesses. A lot of them are trying to really diversify out of the retail space, or some of them are even trying to diversify out of the accredited and institutional investor space. So all of the exchanges that we work with right now and all of the exchanges that we'll be working with in the future would be very interested in setting up business wallets for carriers, because they, of course, get a small percentage of all the transactional volume that moves through. To go back to that $1,000 invoice that we settled in December, Truckcoin Swap did not charge anything to settle the carrier. The exchange did charge our customer $1.01 to settle that transaction. So basically a dollar for every $1,000 in settlement. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot. That wouldn't work for a bank or a factoring company, but it does work for these exchanges because their business is high volume. So it's a great thing for them. And anytime a carrier's got, you know, revenue from a load sitting on an exchange, those are assets under management for that exchange. So this is all highly beneficial to the digital asset and blockchain industry as well, to have this money kind of moving out of the traditional banking system and onto these new Web3 and blockchain based rails. So they've got a lot of incentive to take care of these transportation companies when they open up wallets.
For the owner operator who's been driving for 45 years, you know, they are barely off of the express codes. You know, they're good with ComCheck. How simple would you say it is to even sign up for a Coinbase or a MetaMask, or, you know, how simple is it?
Very simple. Those companies have done a great job. If you can sign up for an app on your phone, then you can get an exchange wallet in place in a day or two. It's very straightforward. They've got good customer service. And anybody that's factoring their invoices now, unless they're, you know, dropping things off at truck stops and putting them in the mail, you know, chances are they know how to download an app. They know how to scan BOLs and accessorial receipts and those types of things. So really, from a tech perspective, from the user's perspective, this is really not much different than what they're doing now. We just have that one added step when a carrier or a user wants to sell their TCS token to get back to cash. So we're just adding one small step for that massive value proposition that, you know, could save a trucking company $12,000 to $30,000 a year in net revenue on every rig.
Gotcha. Okay. What are the synergies between your platform and maybe an independent dispatcher, you know, the folks who are moving those trucks that are finding the opportunities for these fleet owners and these owner operators? What are those synergies between those two parties?
Yeah. And I, you know, for the folks that are doing dispatch and those types of services, I know some of them are using, you know, third-party TMS systems. Some of them are not. We are, you know, looking forward into the future 3 to 5 years. I see a world where there is a ton of integration between companies like Truckcoin Swap, load board providers, TMS providers, those types of things. Now, what exactly that looks like today, it's difficult to say, right? Because in order to get that alignment and that symmetry between tech companies in the industry, you know, there has to be mutual incentive, right? Whatever new service is being offered has to be just as good or better for, you know, TMS providers and load board providers. But I do think we're going to see a world in the not too distant future where a lot of this tech is in front of everybody every day. If they're a broker, if they're dispatching loads, or if they're an operator sitting in an office dispatching their own trucks, or you know, managing a W-2 team, I think we're going to see a lot more integration and alignment develop as all of these things advance and move forward.
And you mentioned broker. Would you say that freight brokers are some of your main customer bases as well? I know that we've spoken from the use cases of a motor carrier thus far, but are there use cases for freight brokerages?
Well, it's funny. We have focused predominantly on these 1 million small trucking companies because, again, you know, they're factoring 100% of their invoices. But I was at the Future of Freight conference, the FreightWaves conference in November, and I heard a statistic that shocked me because I came from the full truckload brokerage side of the industry. The statistic is that now 65% of all 3PLs and brokers are also now factoring 100% of their invoices. And you know, this is where I ran into the problem. We were in a 1% factoring agreement as a brokerage, and one of my jobs was to get us out of this factoring agreement, which is very difficult to do when you've got, you know, hundreds of thousands or maybe even seven figures of freight revenue in the pipeline with the factoring company. But this was the thing that really amazed me because, you know, a lot of these agreements are 1% agreements with brokerages, right? And 1% sounds great, especially in the current interest rate environment. If I offered you 1%, you'd probably be doing a backflip. But let me give you just a quick example of how usurious and damaging these 1% agreements are for brokerages. If I move a $10,000 load and I've got a $300 commission, and I know that's not a great commission, but let's say I had a fallout and, you know, I had to book an expensive truck and I'm making $300 in commission on that load. If I'm in a 1% factoring agreement as a broker, that means I'm paying $100 to the factoring company for settlement. That is 33% of the gross revenue on that load for my brokerage. If I've got to pay somebody, you know, that was involved in moving the load, or pay a dispatcher, or you know, there's some human capital involved in that transaction. After I pay $100 to the factoring company, I'm probably looking at a net revenue on that load of less than 50%. So while these 1% deals sound good, they're actually killing a lot of these brokerages. We've got a trucker who's an advisor for us, a gentleman by the name of Mike Lombard. Mike's an owner-operator. He's a great guy. A lot of people are familiar with him. The adage that he likes to use is, you know, these banks and factoring companies, they break your leg and they hand you a crutch. And that's exactly what these folks are doing. And again, like a lot of folks in the industry, and it's understandable for two reasons. You know, if I'm a trucker or I own a small brokerage, number one, before truck coin swap came around and blockchain solved this problem, I don't really have an alternative to factoring, right? I almost have to factor. But a lot of folks just haven't really sat down and done the math and seen how much these services are actually costing them and how much of a rake these banks and factoring companies are pulling out of the supply chain. Because ultimately, you know, when you have to bear those kinds of costs as a business, you're going to raise your rates when you can. And that makes the cost of goods more expensive for households and consumers and other businesses. So this is I like to say that we have a systemic and pervasive trade finance problem in the U.S. supply chain. And this, you know, this is going on in Canada and it's going on in just about every first world jurisdiction in the world. But it's really awful. But the good news is, you know, a solution is now in place. And you know, I'm not naive. I'm sure TruckCoinSwap will see a lot of competitors in the years to come. But ultimately, I think that, you know, that's a good thing for the industry because this is just a massive cost and a massive toll that the industry's been bearing for decades, and we need to just get free of it as an industry.
Well, thank you for sharing that. When it pertains to freight brokerages and their customers, do you feel like the shippers and the manufacturers are equally easy for you to work with, you know, or are there any capabilities or prerequisites that those shipper manufacturers must have in order for you to comfortably, you know, purchase that invoice from that broker?
Yeah, and so the shippers are not really our customers. If you really boil it down, the shippers are kind of the problem, right? Because their pay terms are 30 to 180 days. And when I talk to people outside of the industry, they laugh when I say up to 180 days. I can tell you, Jory, I work directly with multiple Fortune 50 freight shippers who had net pay terms of 180 days. And their position was, if you don't like our pay terms, that's fine. Go factor your invoices. We have the freight. These are our pay terms. If you want them, you know, these are the terms. So they kind of really are the problem. And a lot of people have said, well, you know, couldn't this problem just be reconciled if, you know, all shippers reduce their pay terms to 10 days? Absolutely. The problem is that's never going to happen in our lifetimes, right? Because inflation is a real thing. We all have really gotten a far more formal education on inflation over the last 2 years. And, you know, these Fortune shipping companies, you know, they're smart. They're publicly traded companies. They've got great lawyers. They've got great CPAs. They've got great leadership and executives. And they know that if they can get away with paying somebody on 6 month terms, they know that there's a 3 to 4% inflation cost that they're able to save. By being able to wait 6 months to pay an invoice. So they're not going to change their pay terms anytime soon. And because they're not going to change their pay terms, that's why the solution is so ripe for everybody else in the supply chain, specifically brokers, 3PLs, and trucking companies. So they're our primary user.
Right. Yeah. So if a, you know, if a brokerage did want to move forward and use you guys because of those favorable terms, what would you need in order to feel comfortable?
Yeah, it's the same process that they would have with a new bank or factoring company. They can approach us through the website. We have a very simple agreement. A lot of these factoring agreements in the industry are 20 to 30 pages. They're very draconian. They require personal guarantees, UCC lien filings. They often cross-collateralize future payables. They cross-collateralize business equipment. I mean, they are really, some of them are really nasty. I've looked at a lot of these agreements. But more importantly than any of that, all of these bank and factoring agreements require brokers and carriers to agree to exclusivity, right? So that means if you sign their agreement for factoring services, you have to send them every single load. The big difference that Truck Coin Swap creates in the market is we do not require exclusivity. We do not require UCC lien filings. We're not going to cross-collateralize your business equipment and your children and your house and all of these things, right? We don't need to do that. If somebody comes to us and they want to settle an invoice and they don't like the service, we don't feel like they should be contracted and obligated to settle every future invoice with us into perpetuity, right? If they don't like the service, we want them to be able to go back to their factoring company, but we know they won't, right? So we don't need to require exclusivity. So, you know, from the perspective of brokers and carriers, it is a much more amenable agreement. And you know, if the other thing it gives brokers and carriers is maybe some of their shippers are on net 30 or net 45 terms. If they're in a brokerage agreement that requires exclusivity, they have to send all of those invoices to the bank or the factoring company. Maybe this get you know, if they're not in an exclusivity agreement with Truck Coin Swap, maybe they want to directly collect from a couple of those shippers. Maybe they've got a shipper that's net 21. So they also have the ability to do that. So it really gives them a lot more autonomy, not just over their revenue, but over how they're managing and settling their freight invoices. And that is their commercial paper, right? That is the benefit of their hard work and acumen. So it's just an infinitely superior model for everybody involved compared to what everybody's doing currently, right? Which is this top-down model that's dominated by banks that's costing everybody an arm and a leg.
And just for background sake, the UCC stands for the Uniform Commercial Code, and correct. It is a regulatory model that manages the commercial transactions across the United States. And a factoring company, as he mentioned, will file a UCC-1 form, which informs the world, you know, the banks and all that kind of stuff, that factoring company has a security interest on the motor carrier. And it typically shows up like the factoring company placing a lien on the motor carrier's accounts receivable, which is, you know, technically what you said. And
yeah, you're exactly right.
Yes, sir. And, you know, it's based on the UCC-1 as compared to existing or successive UCC-1 filings that, you know, determine the position on the totem pole. When it comes to who gets first claim, who gets first dibs, and if everybody's owed money, who gets the first dibs? And if you were the first one to place that lien, that means that you're going to get taken care of first. But technically speaking, there are multiple positions. There's first position, second position, it could be third position, which is what you were also talking about, you guys not demanding exclusivity. I know that factoring companies unanimously are going to say that they don't want to allow a motor carrier to get into multiple factoring agreements for one, that reason that we just mentioned. And, you know, practically speaking, they don't want to be in the second position to prevent them from getting paid, or they don't want the opportunity for the motor carrier to double dip, to sell that invoice twice. So that's a little background, like what is actually being discussed here in that position. But technically, it's not illegal. Technically, it's not illegal if they're saying that you can have multiple positions as a lien holder. That means that they've already accounted for the fact that it could happen.
You're right. It's not illegal, but it's really draconian. So think about this. If you're, let's say I'm a 10 truck operator and all of my revenue comes from delivering loads, right? And let's say times are tough, I'm in a soft market, I need to go out and get a $100,000 loan to save my business, right? To support my business through a difficult, you know, a soft trucking market. How am I going to do that when the bank who I gave exclusivity to on my invoices has a first time, first and right security interest on all of my revenue? The chances of me being able to go out and get a small business loan are slim to none, right? So while it's not illegal, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's good public policy. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's in the best interests of the industry writ large. And, you know, a lot of people do bring up this point. Well, you know, if you have exclusivity, then, you know, carriers can't go sell the same invoice to two different factoring companies, or they, you know, they could sell an invoice to a factoring company and then turn around and sell it to TCS as a settlement company, right? Because we're not a factoring company. Well, that's fraud, right? If you're selling the same commercial paper rights to two parties and you're doing it intentionally and knowingly, that's fraud. So most carriers know that. You know, if we get into a situation with a carrier who's doing that type of thing, you know, we would certainly have legal recourse under the contract. So we just think this whole idea of filing UCC liens, cross-collateralizing business equipment. Jory, I've read some factoring agreements that if there is some kind of disparity and the bank or the factoring company decides unilaterally at their own discretion that they need to audit your books, they can literally come to your place of business, take your computers, take your books, take whatever it is they want. I mean, these are terms that are in some of these factoring agreements. I mean, it's really like out of the Renaissance period, some of this stuff. But again, if you're a small carrier or a brokerage and you need factoring services, a lot of these people just sign these 20 to 30 page agreements because until now, there just hasn't been a good alternative on the market.
Gotcha. And look, I mean, you said it very assuredly. You guys are not a factoring company. What makes your organization not a factoring company, but you're able to, you know, provide the payment to these folks?
Right. And that is a fantastic question. So what a factoring company does is they advance cash at a rate of interest. They're basically giving you a loan on your paycheck, right? They're charging you a payday type annualized interest rate, a hard money loan on your own paycheck. We are not advancing cash. We are not settling carriers in USD. So we're not creating a loan. A loan predicated on advancing cash. We are settling carriers in our TCS Polygon token, which they can then immediately sell to get to cash. So that is, it's a subtle distinction, but it is an extremely important distinction. And that's why we can hold ourselves out as definitively not being a factoring company. And we like to tell people that we're a blockchain-based settlement company because that's exactly what we do.
Is that how you overcome those objections of, you know, most carriers do have existing factoring agreements. So is that how you overcome that objection?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the carriers who are in factoring agreements are approaching us, right? Because they want to be able to recapture all of that net revenue loss. But it is a very important distinction, right? Our model from a user or a carrier's perspective is very similar to what they're doing now, but there are some subtle differences, and those subtle differences are extremely important because we're not a bank, we're not a money transmitter, we are not creating loans based on, you know, high interest cash advances. That is not our business, but that is what the banks and factoring companies have been doing and continue to do.
Gotcha. So I know that your guys, the value proposition for you is not in getting fees per transaction. You guys are more interested in what's happening around the transaction, you know, maybe the information and all of that kind of good stuff.
Yes.
You know, as a somebody who's been in the industry, I mean, you've even been a freight brokerage agency owner. So you understand the nature of the game when it comes to the information.
Yes.
Do you have an opinion or do you have a stance on that whole data transparency argument that was going on between the TIA and OIDA recently? I mean, FMCSA already shut it down, but did you have a position on that?
Yeah, and I've talked to a lot of owner operators and carriers about it, you know, and this the argument, as I understand it, was that a lot of trucking companies wanted full transparency in terms of understanding what the brokers and 3PLs were actually being paid from these shippers because they think that there's some kind of disparity. And what I have told them is, you know, respectfully, you're barking up the wrong tree, right? And instead of trying to get in a position where you're clawing back revenue from a broker, how about just firing your factoring company and recapturing your net revenue utilizing a blockchain settlement company like TruckCoinSwap? Because the real problem is, you know, we have rule of law in this country. You know, the common law of contracts goes all the way back to like Magna Carta and, you know, further than that, right? It probably goes all the way back to Hammurabi's code again, right? 4,000 years. You know, when a broker enters into a contractual relationship with a shipper, what they determine the freight rate is on any given transaction, the motor carrier who delivers the load just does not have privity of contract to that transaction. Now you can say, well, it's unfair because, you know, the broker got 20% or 80% or whatever the number is. I mean, it obviously varies based on market and a million different variables. But, you know, in a rule of law jurisdiction like the United States, based on the common law of contracts, you're never going to have privity of contract and a right to claw into that transaction between the shipper and the broker. So what I've you know, I've kind of tried to be Switzerland on this argument and say, you know, you both sides have some very valid points, and I think the discussion is helpful to both sides and to a lot of other people. But let's focus on where we can recapture revenue. Let's focus on where we can claw back revenue that's getting raked out of the system. And if you're factoring all your loads, that's a place where you do have privity of contract, where you can get that revenue back in your pocket, as opposed to wanting to see how much your broker got paid on a load that you delivered last week.
Right. No, I hear you, man. And I mean, I understand being Switzerland on this type of situation. As far as you and your service offerings, do you ever feel like there might be a DAT versus convoy situation? You know, being as how, you know, the information is more valuable to you, but if you are providing these services to a freight brokerage, do you feel like it can kind of be in the same trajectory as convoy partnering up with DAT to get insights and then launching their own situation? Do you think it could ever be anything like that, or is that not the information that you really value?
Yeah, we're not really, you know, we are really focused on the back end, right? We're like in a restaurant, we're the back of the house. The load's already delivered if we're involved. So in terms of, you know, freight rates and market volatility and all of this rich data that a lot of these companies are engaged in terms of, you know, pricing and putting together procurement events and RFPs and those types of things, I don't think that that's a sandbox that we're ever going to play in. I mean, don't hold me to that. I have no idea exactly what the future entails. But in terms of our core business product and our core business model, you know, we're just focused on settling the carriers after they deliver the load.
Do you feel like your service is right for the motor carrier who is doing a lot of first-time business with freight brokerages? In other words, a motor carrier who is operating heavily in the spot market. Do you feel like that's the type of carrier that you're looking for?
Yeah, it really, I mean, it. Sometimes if it's a new brokerage that, you know, the kind of the red flags are up for the carrier, like taking a first load. But the interesting thing is most of these brokerages are now factoring their invoices, right? So they're not actually the payor to the trucking company. The factoring company is the payor. So it from our perspective, it really doesn't matter who the shipper or payor is, as long as they are financially solvent. Right. And, you know, the industry has done a great job over the last 5 to 10 years, specifically on the insurance side of transportation, of creating great Web2 based platforms for being able to vet pay terms, receivables, shipper solvency, payor solvency, those types of things. So it, you know, from our perspective, as long as the payor is good, it's paper that we're going to buy, it's an invoice that we're going to settle. And so it you know, it doesn't really necessarily matter if it's a new brokerage or it's a, you know, a direct shipper relationship that the carrier's had for 30 years. If the pay terms are not beneficial to the trucking company, if they're waiting 30 to 180 days to get paid, we can get them to cash in 3 to 4 days at no cost. So the value proposition is there either way.
And gotcha. So in traditional factory agreements, you know, we're talking about a recourse versus non-recourse agreement. And I know that you're saying that it's really predicated on if the if you know that they have a factoring company to back them as a brokerage, you know, you're willing to kind of purchase those just because you know that they have that financial support. What's the actual vetting process? Because the average motor carrier, they're leaning on their factoring company to determine the credibility before they accept the load. You know, the credibility of a brokerage before they accept the load, because they only want to do the work if they have crossed the T's and dotted the I's to know that they're actually going to get paid for, you know, doing the work.
Yeah, we offer the same type of suite of services there that a bank or a factoring company would. So if it's a brand new brokerage or a brand new shipper that the trucking company's never worked with before, or maybe they've never heard of before, and they want to ask us in advance of accepting the load if you know this is a solvent payor, then it's the same model that they would have with a bank or a factoring company, right? They can shoot us an email, and we can get back to them in real time and let them know. But you know, in the industry right now, a lot of this stuff is kind of already baked in, right? If you're a brand new brokerage, you're probably not going to be able to move any freight if you don't have a factoring company behind you or some kind of, you know, third party financial support, right? Because if you don't have any credit worthiness in the market, nobody's going to take your loads. So, it's really, again, it's the same type of services that a bank or a factoring company is offering. We're able to do the same thing.
How do you feel like being independent agency for a freight brokerage? How does that prepare you for what you're doing right now?
Well, I learned the back of the house, right? And I learned what the problems were. And that definitely really opened up my eyes, because again, until you really start crunching the numbers and doing the math, it's difficult to know what everybody's paying, right? I tell people all the time, a lot of people see trucks go down the road. When I see a truck, I see a transaction that, you know, five parties have their hands in, right? Because that's how my mind works now, because I've been on the brokerage side of the business. So I don't think, you know, unless you're deep in the reeds in any industry, it's hard to really identify real problems, specifically when those problems orbit around things like trade finance. So, but for that experience, I don't think, you know, it ever would have occurred to me to take this type of problem out to some really savvy tech developers and say, hey, is this a problem that we can solve utilizing Web3 tech, blockchain, and digital assets?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love to hear it. And, you know, my final question, man, is what is the best thing that can happen for you and, you know, Truckcoin Swap after this session airs? Like, what's the unicorn thing that can really just change everything, or not even change everything, like really launch it, you know what I mean, out of space? What's that situation?
Funny, because we have more demand right now than we're even capable of meeting. Demand is not really our problem. So what we're really focused on right now, we're settling the carriers that we're working with today. We're onboarding carriers as we can. But really, you know, this is a very tight knit industry, right? A lot of us are listening to the same podcasts. We're listening to the same Sirius XM radio stations. A lot of drivers and operators are visiting the same truck stops. I mean, things spread virally in this segment of transportation. So, you know, we're still very focused on educational content. That's why we created our own podcast, the Truck Coin Swap podcast, for anybody that wants to check that out. We're bringing people from both industries to talk about this convergence that's happening right now in tech. So really, you know, we're just trying to get the word out there. We want people to know what we're doing. We want hard questions. And because we know in due course that will lead to widespread adoption. And that's what the company really needs to kind of hit that next level of profitability and stardom in the freight tech industry.
Okay. And where can the folks reach you and even your podcast? What were those credentials?
Yeah, the Truck Coin Swap podcast is available on every major platform. You can just search Truck Coin Swap, one word, and you'll pull it up. And we also have a ton of content on our website. And anybody that wants to reach out to us, maybe about services, settlement services, or just with questions or inquiries, etc., all of those contact links and emails are available at truckcoinswap.com.
Okay, man. Anything that you wanted to close out with?
Well, I just want to thank you again, Jory, for the venue, for the forum, for your interest in what we're doing, and for bringing some tough questions to the table. I think that's kind of the best way to get people educated about not just what Truck Coin Swap is doing, but the larger use cases and value propositions that that blockchain is going to bring to the transportation industry over the next few years.
Okay, yeah, no doubt, brother. Again, I appreciate you for accepting the invitation. And everybody, thank you so much for joining and being a part of the Transportation and Logistics Clubhouse. Next session is going to be on Monday evening. We are going to be interviewing a government contractor. This brother's been in the industry for about 15 years, and as soft as the market is currently, you know, we got to find some opportunities for our fleet owners to be able to make some money. So if it's pivoting to government contracting, you know, I'm happy to do that. Well, thank you.